وعلى سنة مركز الصحابة أهل السنة والجماعة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم, and welcome to another edition of the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Issub, every Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 25th of Ramadan 1446, corresponding to the 26th of March 2025, we have approximately 4 days or 5 days, all depending on the sighting of the moon, to mark the end of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. You know, this is the most important days. It's the days of emancipation. And one should read the Masnoon Dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna ya kareem. You should beseech Almighty Allah that, Ya Allah, you forgive me for all the sins that I've committed in the darkness of the night and in the brightest of the day. Allah, Almighty Allah, is most forgiving and most merciful, and we should not despair in the mercy of Almighty Allah. One shouldn't think that, you know what, because of my sins, I've done so much wrong in my life and Allah will not forgive. No, my dear respected listeners, we must never think like that, because we must always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy overpowers His anger. لا تقنطوا في رحمة الله. Never despair in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Allah is most forgiving. That is one of the beautiful names of Almighty Allah, is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor. Al-Ghafoor is the most forgiving. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. Ar-Rahim, most passionate, most merciful. That's why Almighty Allah forgives us. He loves to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits for us to pick up our hands and say, Ya Allah, I've committed the sin. Ya Allah, forgive me for the sin, for the wrong that I've committed. Ya Allah, I have erred, I've made them this error. Ya Allah, you forgive me. Because if we don't ask Almighty Allah for forgiveness, then who will we turn to ask Allah for forgiveness? Inshallah, we're going to be listening to us for that small nasheed of Astaghfirullah whilst we get our brother Alphus and Kursi online. And we're going to be listening to that zikr. And when we return, we will get our brother Alphus and Kursi.
أستغفر الله العظيم 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 أستغفر الله العظيم.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
The voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, indeed. We got our brother Alphus and Kursi online. Brother Alphus, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, brother Alphus. Alphus, tell us what's happening, what's been the latest in the world with the news, views and interviews.
Well, we know that the U.S. President, Donald Trump, has finally nominated a candidate to become the U.S. ambassador into South Africa. And we know that he is actually pro-Israel. So we're going to look at analysis, in-depth analysis on his appointment, on his nomination. And what it means is that a deliberate move to nominate a pro-Israeli guy, knowing that South Africa has a case at the ICJ. So that's the matter that we're going to look at in the first quarter of the show. And then it will be followed by, we know that the Johannesburg Metro Police, they have actually released a report and quite a concern that there are people, fake JNPD people that are stopping vehicles, especially around personal day. You know, those people are, they are fully, they've got full uniform and even their vehicles, you know. So now we're going to speak to the spokesperson of JNPD, just to tell us about, you know, how to spot the fake Metro Police officer, and then what are they doing as JNPD to actually try and stop these particular incidents from happening. Because we've seen a lot of people have been hijacked by people posing as police, only to find that they are fake police officers. And then on the final part of the show, I think even in Indonesia, we know that there are boom gate, nor there's private security. So we're going to discuss the role of private security in combating and fighting crime in South Africa. So yeah, that's what we're going to have.
Okay, Brother Alphas, thank you so much. You know that, so inshallah, we will catch you a little bit later. And also very concerning with regards to the police officers impersonating, and many elderly people have been robbed of their belongings. So it'll be interesting to hear from the South African Police Service on the commissioner. So we'll see you later. So we'll catch up with you later, Brother Alphas.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And that was Brother Alphas Nkosi, and he was going to be, we're going to be having that conversation a little bit later from 12 to 12:55, and he will be having various wait, Mona is trying to tell me something, I'm not sure. Mona? Maaf.
The phone is beeping.
Oh, okay. You know, sometimes when we get our guest online, then we forget to switch it off, and it makes that a loud noise of, you know, that engaged tone. So we say Jazakallah khairan for that. But yeah, we're going to be moving on to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera. And today he was going to be discussing the name of Ya Halimu. So inshallah, let's listen. And it's the most, Ya Halimu means the most forbearing. So inshallah, let's listen to Mufti Saab and what he has to say. How can we use the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily life?
Wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لله تعالى 99 اسما من حفظها دخل الجنة. Right, let's move on to number 32, Al-Halim. Al-Halim, the most forbearing one, who has hilm, which means very calm, very collected, very forbearing, almost like so composed that they don't jump to conclusions. That's what usually a Halim person is, someone who's very calculated and very dignified in their patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the whole world doing crazy things, people blaspheming Him, violating His principles, rejecting Him, worshipping the shaitan. But it's so Halim, He still feeds them. He tolerates and tolerates and tolerates. Imagine if He wasn't like that. So Ya Halim, in family disputes, when facing disputes or disagreements within the family, a person may invoke Al-Halim to seek patience and tolerance, to handle the situation with grace and wisdom. A lot of us mess it up because we're not willing to take it easy and wait to sort it out. We're trying to rush the system. And some, in many cases, rushing is from the shaitan. And in some cases, taking it easy is from the shaitan. It just depends on the situation. If we keep postponing something good, then that's from the shaitan. But if you rush something and do it haphazardly, we do it recklessly, then that's from shaitan. So shaitan, we call unto Haleem. Number two, professional life in a work environment where colleagues or superiors are particularly challenging to deal with. But you need that job, you need to stay in there, you need to get through. The going is tough. Ya Haleem, Ya Haleem, Ya Haleem. The committee is a tough committee. But you need to carry on with your work and your service and your khidmah. Or you're doing some kind of welfare work or some kind of other beneficial work, and the people with you just tough to deal with, but you know that you have to work with them because they hold the keys. These are situations. Ya Haleem would be a wonderful name to call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, raising children. Is there frustration bringing up children? Is there any frustration in that? Subhanallah. Allah san kare. Ya Haleem, Ya Haleem, Ya Haleem. During moments of frustration in raising children, particularly during their rebellious phases. What is the rebellious phase? What age is that? Teen years. Yeah. What about twos? No, terrible twos. Those are that's just in the sense that it requires us to be patient. Yes, the teething and all of the rest of it. But at least there's no shaitan then. Usually there's nothing shaitani at that time, so it makes you, it's more of an innocence in that time, innocent challenge. And then when they get older, then you're worried about the shaitan now. You have to be worried about shaitan, right? You know, mischievous children, that's understandable. When it's shaitani, then that's even worse. And sometimes a shaitani might come into young ones from older ones. Otherwise, by nature, I don't think the children are shaitani. But sometimes older children, older people might teach them shaitaniya, which means, you know, serious mischief, where it becomes evil. Otherwise, children are not evil at all. They just naturally might have mischief, but they're not evil. Evil is the problem. So shaitani. So that's why Ya Haleem, to get through that frustration. So many parents, they come in, how do I get through this? They get frustrated. Ya Allah, there's a reward in this. So keep reading Ya Haleem, Ya Haleem, Ya Haleem. Allahu Akbar. Parents might seek the patience of Al-Haleem to understand and guide their children without reacting in anger. Personal growth. Someone trying to break a bad habit or instead a good one. Because again, a lot of patience, a lot of regularity and endurance is required in that. Ya Haleem, in seeking patience with oneself during this personal journey of growth. Difficult neighbors. Allah protect us from difficult neighbors, because you just can't keep moving, can you? Especially if you've bought a house somewhere. Utlubul jar qabla dar. That's what Arabic statement says. Look at the neighbor before you look at the house. Because you got neighbors that cause you problems. Ya Allah, that's very tough, because you just can't move around too much, can you? Right. So Allah protect us from that. Difficult neighbors, when dealing with challenging neighbors who may cause disturbance or conflicts, one can invoke the patience of Ya Haleem to handle the situation peacefully. And number six, financial strain. Financial strain. During financial hardships, when feeling anxious or desperate, invoking Al-Haleem can inspire patience and trust that things will get better. You need to call on to Ya Ghani and Ya Mughni for the wealth to come in. But you need the Ya Haleem to deal with the current situation. Persevere at this point. So you can use different names for different stages of that same journey. And of course, then we move on to marital conflicts in times of misunderstandings or disagreements with a spouse. Or in a lot of people, they have this issue where they've got children now together, they've got a toxic relationship, and they feel they just have to carry on and they don't sort it out. You need to sort it out. Ya Haleem as well. Ya Haleem, Ya Haleem. Seeking the patience of Al-Haleem can help in resolving issues calmly and with understanding. Seeking knowledge when learning or studying, especially the Quran or Hadith, one may invoke Ya Haleem for patience in understanding and absorbing that knowledge and going through with it. Because any kind of journey for any knowledge is usually going to be tough if you want to get to an advanced level. We need hilm and that kind of patience to carry on. Social activism for those advocating for a social cause or justice, when especially they're going to probably face resistance and challenges. Because that's why you're an activist. There's some resistance and challenges. Invoking Al-Halim can provide from them the patience to continue their struggle without feeling defeated, without feeling despondent, and without feeling that they must, because it's usually the enduring Halim people that usually win. And a spiritual journey on the face of spiritual, on the path of spiritual growth, when one struggles with maintaining consistency in acts of worship or feels distant from Allah, seeking for the patience of Halim can help to persevere and preserve and remain steadfast in faith. So that our spiritual journey, our religious journey, we need Ya Halim. We need Ya Halim for that.
With the Rayyan Courses subscription, you gain immediate access.
And that was the one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was Ya Halimo. And you know, when you're trying to get your child, one of the reasons or one of the ways that you can use the name is when your child is misbehaving, the patience, the forbearing, Ya Halimu, Ya Halimu, Ya Halimu, ask Almighty Allah for forgiveness, for that patience when your child is maybe misbehaving or he's driving you up the pole or your child is driving you up the pole and you can't handle it anymore. You invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name and say, Ya Halimu, Ya Halimu, Ya Halimu. So inshallah, we're going to go for a small nasheed break, and inshallah, when we return, we will be discussing what can we do to, towards the end of the month of Ramadan, and how can we keep our iman level in the same momentum. So inshallah, when we return, we will be discussing that there.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
سیدے کونین تیرے جان ساروں کو سلام سیدے کونین تیرے جان ساروں کو سلام یعنی گردون نبوت کے ستاروں کو سلام انبیاء کے بعد شہرا ہے انہی کے نام کا ان حجازی غازیوں کو شاہ سواروں کو سلام سید کونین تیرے جان ساروں کو سلام جن کی ہے بس لرز تھے کفر کے ایوان تھے جن سے لرزا شام روما فارسوں ایران تھے ان خلافت راشدہ کے تاجداروں کو سلام ان خلافت راشدہ کے تاجداروں کو سلام سید کونین تیرے جان ساروں کو سلام جن کا حملہ دشمنوں کو موت کا پیغام تھا اس زمین پر کفر جن سے لرزے بردام تھا حق کے خوشنودی کے مخلص خواستگاروں کو سلام حق کی خوشنودی کے مخلص خواستگاروں کو سلام سید کونین تیرے جان ساروں کو سلام سید کونین تیرے جان ساروں کو سلام جب کہیں باطل سے ٹکرا تھے حق کے پاس با حق پرستوں کے تماشے دیکھ
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and indeed serving you wherever you are. And that is the purpose of our radio station. We are we speak Haq. And, you know, we mustn't forget Darul Iman as well, the voice of the voiceless. And back to what we were speaking about with regards to the month of Ramadan and just coming to the end. You know, we're in the final last 10 days today, already being the 25th of Ramadan. And it's one of the odd nights. You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, search for the for Laylatul Qadr on the odd days or the odd night, or the odd nights in particular. And how can one identify an odd night? It's the 21st, but we should always read, or we should exert ourselves in these last 10 days. Not only on the odd night, but in particular, every odd night or every night of the last 10 days of Ramadan. But we should try and be more with our reading, with our kitab, with our tilawat of the Quran, the zikr of Almighty Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, "Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub." Verily, the remembrance of Almighty Allah brings closeness brings closeness to Almighty Allah. So, how can we continue this momentum of, you know, when we in the month of Ramadan, we were reading more, our ibadat were increased, our salawat increased as well. We should try, you know, when we're driving a car and we're keeping the momentum, like you're going on a long distance from point A to point B, and you know, you've got it in cruise control, right? But you got it at 120, 140. Just like that day, this whole month, we've been at that one level, or maybe 100, 120, 140. But now that doesn't mean when you come to Eid al-Fitr on the first of Shawwal that we must stop, or we must come to a stop in whatever we are doing. We should continue with this momentum, continue with this drive of being in the spirit. Treat every day like it's the month of Ramadan with regards to your tilawat of the Quran. You know, and you will see the barakah and the blessings of Almighty Allah. And we must make dua and always say, Ya Allah, through the barakah and wasila of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We turn to Almighty Allah for barakah and for blessings, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq, Al-Fattah, Al-Alim. You know, we've been listening to the various names of Almighty Allah when Mufti Yusuf Mangera has been telling us. You know, we've heard about Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ya Ghafur, Ash-Shakur. We should make shukr for the ni'mas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. You know, the ni'mat of waking up in the morning every day. You know, as we say, Allah, we read the dua for waking up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to see, you know, our limbs are in perfect condition. We woke up as a Muslim, we never wake up as a mushrik, you know. The small things, we should make shukr to Almighty Allah. And it's gone 32 minutes. It's gone 28 minutes to 11 Central African time. Just waiting on our beloved Mulana Zaid Khan. Maybe Mulana will give us some insight from an Islamic perspective with regards to the last 10 days of Ramadan and how we should, like I was saying, keep the momentum and the spirit of Ramadan, and how we can keep the momentum during the month of Ramadan. So inshallah, we're going to see if Mulana is available for maybe like 5-10 minutes, you know, inshallah. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Brother Suleiman?
Alhamdulillah, shukran, Mulana. Mulana, just trying to explain or give the listeners, you know, with the last 10 days of Ramadan.
Chee.
And you know, just like how when you're driving a motor vehicle, you're going on a long distance from point A to point B.
Hmm.
And you've got that steady speed of maybe 100, 110, 120.
Hmm.
Now, from the beginning of Ramadan, we've had, obviously we started like maybe 60 kilometers, 80. And once we were in the middle, we had that cruise control of maybe 100, 120.
Hmm.
And now we're going downhill, but we're trying to maintain that speed.
Hmm.
Right? So I'm trying to say that after the month of Ramadan, when you come to the first of Shawwal, we mustn't put brakes.
Hmm.
We must try and keep that momentum, you know, because it becomes a lifestyle. And you know how peaceful we were in the month of Ramadan. You know why? Because we were attaining Almighty Allah's blessing. Mm. You know, the barakah was coming in our lives. And now we should maybe Mulana can give us some insight or advices as to how we can keep that momentum even after the month of Ramadan and Shawwal and all the other months that are to follow in our life to continue it, inshallah.
Mm. Ji, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Brother Suleiman, we apologize for not joining you on the other days. And of course, whenever the call for Deen comes about, we should be always ready. And is the mic on? Ji, so we must always be ready for Deen. Many a time what happens is we tend to shy away or we tend to say, no, you know what? This is what I love about Hakimul Ummah, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani, Rahmatullah Alayhi. One of his qualities, it's written in his book, you can find it. And about his whole life, his life story. There it is mentioned that he wasn't a person who used to boast humility. He didn't boast humility. So when it needed now a time to respond to the modernist or to respond to certain situations, he wouldn't then boast humility and say, ah, we're not worth it and we are not like this and we are, you know, all these words that we tend to use. Yes, they are. When they used it, they meant it. We use it. Why? So that people can say, hey, this man, he's got a lot of humility, mashallah. So when it comes to the call of Deen, when it comes to presenting Islam to the world, we must always be ready, always have a positive mindset towards it. And you'll see how Allah Azza wa Jal will help you, assist you in difficult times as well. And you may seem or you may feel, how am I going to come out of this? But you know the verse of the Quran Sharif, and this was the month of the Quran Sharif, which we have found ourselves so connected to. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of the Quran Sharif. And as you know, we have that program from 9:30. Now it is from 9:30 to 10 at nights. And there we speak of Ulumul Quran, how much we learn every single day. There, if you see the Quran Sharif, it was revealed from the Lawhul Mahfuz. Lawhul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. The preserved tablet. If you see till today, you say, the tablet. Where's the tablet? We want to see the Markaz Sahaba tablet. What questions came in? So, Lawhul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, that is where you find all which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed everything. From there to the Baytul Ma'mur, Baytul Izzah. And if you take Al-Kaaba Al-Musharrafa, just above that, there is this place, Al-Baytul Ma'mur. This is the place where the angels circulate. And these angels are making tawaf there. So from Allahul Mahfuz onto Al Baytul Ma'mur, the Quran Sharif, one shot, Inna Anzalnahu fi Laylatil Qadr. We've revealed the Quran Sharif on the night of Qadr. So that's what we have learned from there. Now on this particular night, Laylatul Qadr, it could have been the 21st. Many have said that was a really peaceful night. And according to Imam Shafi'i, rahimullah, that is Laylatul Qadr. However, that is according to his view. There are others as well who have mentioned other nights as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, search for it on the odd nights. Now we have one key night, and that is tomorrow night. On Laylatul Jumu'ah, you have Laylatul Qadr as well. Laylatul Jumu'ah, Laylatul Qadr as well. And on this particular night, Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimullah has said, and you know the statement, that is the statement of Shaykh Albani rahimullah, who has said, لَمْ يُولَدْ مِثْلَهُ بَعْدَهُ. After him, there won't be, you'll never find a Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimullah. So he has said, What has he said? He said that if Laylatul Qadr, or if the odd night appears to be on Laylatul Jumu'ah as well, it coincides, it corresponds, then that will be your big night. That will be beautiful indeed. It is to know when I speak to my father, then he mentions my granny, my daddy, she passed away on Laylatul Jumu'ah on the 27th night. And she had a lot of sicknesses and high blood pressure. And it was just amazing to hear that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her on this particular night as well. So it is something, it is an honor. Of course, we can't live their legacies. And I must share this with you because sometimes, you know, our elders, our seniors, they have sicknesses and they tend to go through a difficult time, which we, as I see, as we're getting older. In fact, if you see on BBC, there was a particular editor, he has written of how noises affect an individual and how it frustrates the human being. But in there, he hasn't written, and this is the short-sightedness of the kuffar, they have not shown what's the solution. He has not shown what is the ways to peace. The Quran Sharif mentions it, Allah bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Listen, it is with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find peace, solace. And our teachers, Mufti Ridaul Haq Sahib Hafidhullah, he comments on this. He's a commentator of the Quran Sharif, a great mufassir of this living day and age. Make dua, they're currently busy with it. Two American students are busy compiling it. And we make dua also that can come to a completion. It will be really a great service. So he says on this particular verse, Allah bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Tatma'innul qulub. And he puts there, adds the ay taqwiyat al qulub. What does this do? Peace. Ay taqwiyat al qulub. It strengthens the heart with the remembrance of Allah. It strengthens the heart. You look at that Palestinian, all the tanks facing him, but still he is able, a young boy, able to scream out Allahu Akbar. And if you see on Google and you see there, what is the word that really frightens people? Allahu Akbar. So I thought at first this was disrespectful, but then when I thought about it, it is when that Mujahid, whether he's 2 years, whether he's 15 years, whether he's 30 years, whether he's 60 years, and he screams out Allahu Akbar, this causes that frightening awe and frightening scene in the hearts of the kuffar and the rogue terrorist Israelis. So this year, dhikrullah, when your heart is pumped up with the remembrance of Allah, then it gains strength, it gains momentum. Weapons can be facing you, but it is strengthened with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. So in this year, as we get older, I was saying to you, then what happens is our senses are more weird out, it's more now used, and now to comprehend or to you know, be with this particular situation, to face the critical conditions. And sometimes it happens, the radio is on, you're trying to listen to that, and then you're also trying to listen to your family. This disruption, interruptions, it causes that uneasiness. Now open up your mind to the elderly people of our communities and understand them as well, and find out, and you'll see that their senses as well is not functioning like when it was 20 years of age. So as they gradually get older, and with the sicknesses as well, this becomes, and it can become disturbing for them as well. So we must take into consideration their special needs and understand them as well. So like this, we move forward like this. When you're speaking of the Quran Sharif and how much of peace it's brought upon us. And also we say to the elderly people, I was saying to you, the message that we give to them is never lose hope, never lose courage. Always, my granny, she had high blood pressure. And my father says to me once, they were out, they went for Hajj. And as they, my father said, I want to take my mother and my father for Hajj. So many have said, no, you can't, because you're not going to bring back, you're taking our mother, you're not going to bring her back alive. So while they were there, he witnessed that, you know, blood pressure and all of this here, you don't respond too well. So one day my granny was saying something, but her response to my grandfather wasn't very polite as such. So my father like what was, spoke politely and said, like, maybe we can solve this. So my grandfather quickly said, and he understood his wife, his spouse, and he said, I'm not affected. Why are you being affected by this? Yeah. So he understood her sickness and he understood that this is going to be a response. And despite all of this, she had a good death. Alhamdulillah. This teaches you a lesson, a major lesson, that your sicknesses that you face, and many are sick, the amount of sick people that we've been meeting, it's just unbelievable and mind-blowing. And their desire, their passion to fast still is there, and they just said that they couldn't fulfill it. In fact, I'll share this with you. There's one brother, uncle we say, his name is Uthman Ghani. He's from Indonesia and he attends our masjid. He's got throat cancer. So one day I saw it, he's got a button here by his throat, and when he speaks, he cannot stop speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot stop speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I met him this week. I said, where were you? I never see you for so long. He said, I told him, I know you went to Dubai and that. But for so long, he said, no, you know what happened? I was in hospital. And as I was in hospital, he was about to have a stroke. And alhamdulillah, they picked it up on time. And everything, his daughter in Dubai, wherever it was, picked it up in time. And then they sent him, when he came back, first in hospital. And he said, you know, what I couldn't get over is his constant positivity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite, you would say, and I would say, unfavorable conditions. One way is just praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just, and you know, if you have throat cancer, to speak is difficult. So I quickly thought and reflected, we have this beautiful way to speak everything, alhamdulillah, no sicknesses, this, that, the other. But when last have we spoken about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is sick and he's saying how well Ramadan is treating him. And furthermore, he said he went to the doctor, they operated a little bit. He said the doctor told him the last time you had to operate on this was 17 years ago. He said, Allah shukr, for 17 years, I've got this good health. Now, this is something that is key and we have to understand. As you've posed, Brother Suleiman, that going forward, we've gained this momentum. Now, after Ramadan, where is our objectives? I will share as youth. And why I say this is not to boast. Why I say this is because I understand. Why I say this is because we were there in your shoes. And it was, now realization has kicked in. So that is why we have to warn our youth as well. Growing up, what was the tendency as a youngster? What am I going to buy for Eid? My Eid dekhi, my Eid clothes, my Eid jeans, my Eid top. It must be something that stands out. It must be something that is exquisite. Something that, you know, back then, everyone, youth wanted to go to Zoo Lake. Youth wanted to go to, that time it was Fordsburg Square. And there, you would then show off your dress. You would then show off your... And this is, you tend to think, just the other day when I was reflecting, we used to purchase those clothes in Ramadan, knowing very well that we're going to wear this kuffar attire on Eid day. Now, can you see already? Where was our focus in Ramadan? Was it even in Ramadan? When we knew and we planned very well that we're going to sin on the day of Eid. Now, can we have such a vision like this? No, we cannot. We have to now say, never ever am I going to go in that direction. Come Eid, come after Eid. Come now till my last breath. I'm going to spend my free time in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two bounties. Ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. Two bounties which many people are deceived and fall have fallen into this deception about it is al-siha wal-faragh, good health and free time. So whether it is now, whether it is after Ramadan, and as you've said, Brother Suleiman, this month has trained us. It's what's it? It's the Taqwa Academy. 30 days. I recall in Darul Ulum Zakaria, there was this one brother, I must tell you his story also, very motivational. He actually, later we came to find out, he was actually a spy. He was a spy from America. But let me tell you what happened to him. He got so inspired with the sunnah and seeing our asatira, how they practice and live the sunnah, that afterwards he fell in love with the sunnah and he wanted to break away from this. But these people are all too clever. So what they did? They said, you know what? We'll put you in a better place. So they took him out and they put him in Al-Azhar University. And they say within a few months, he found it difficult. And that momentum which he gained, he lost it then. So what happened was, he told me once, it was interesting what he said. He said, for a habit to come into our lives, you need about 25 days. You need to practice it for 25 days for that habit to become now a reality and for you to go forward. So I would say, I don't think it's 25 days. That's maybe his narrative. That's his opinion. It is actually 30 days. It's actually 29 to 30 days a month. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this month of Ramadan so that we can shift away. Think about it, sit down, think about it, and ponder over this. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything favorable for you to fulfill your duty. What's your duty? Your duty is when they ask you what's your job description, my job description is Abdullah. My job description is Amatullah. My job description is to become the slave of Allah. That is what is mentioned in Surah Dhariyat. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn kind and the mankind except that they worship me, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying. Someone asked Malik bin Dinar, rahimullah, that give us some advice. He said, خرج أهل الدنيا من الدنيا ولم يذوقوا أطيب شيء فيها. The people of the world have left the world and they have not tasted the beauty, the purest thing in the world. They asked him, what is this here? He said, ma'rifatullah. It is the recognition of Allah. So these days are for what? Is to recognize Allah. You're reading Allah's kalam, you're connecting with that which is wahi, that which is untaintable, that which is unadulterated, and you're connecting to such a level. Now going forth, how to remain on this, to remain constant. Firstly, dedicate some time daily for the recitation of the Quran Sharif. I'll share this with you. We have our honorable teacher, Mufti Muhammad Ali Hafizahullah, Sheikh al-Hadith of Darul Ulum Zakaria, taught us Tirmidhi, major kitabs. So he would stress upon me that why, this is out of Ramadan, you must have recitation of the Quran Sharif on a daily basis. Even if it be a little, even if it be one verse, this is the one issue. You have to have this. That you'll see the nur that comes out of it. That is something else. But you must dedicate. And the way to do this is set aside a time. Certain actions, we have to keep it even after Ramadan. So if I set aside every day after Fajr Salah in Ramadan that I'm reading Quran Sharif, then after Ramadan, I must continue, maybe not to that level which I could do in Ramadan because of the barakah of Ramadan. So out of Ramadan, maybe I can just decrease that time a little bit because other issue with eating. You know how much of time goes into eating and the rest. So, but I must have it. And then gradually, when you are now confident that you are going to read that two verses, three verses, one ruku, whatever it may be, according to you, then you continue with this, yeah. you continue with it even after Ramadan. You had it maybe going to a juz a day. So after Ramadan, maybe you say a ruku a day, or according to your capabilities and your capacity. But something must be put in place for this. Then other aspects which you should consider as well is, what did Ramadan teach us? It is, I said to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chained up the major shayateen. Sulsilati shayateen. They are chained up. Why? So that you can have this opportunity to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your major sins, you would find on, saying generally, yes, there's those exclusive cases where people were unable to still give up. But generally, many people were able to give up sin, which they used to perpetrate, commit out of Ramadan. So now it's giving you that confidence that you can do it. So continue with it. And as well, together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you fasting. Fasting has now, it's toned down your desires. So when you add all this, it put it down to a minimum. If you were fasting and you were not controlling your gaze, you will find yourself still to be having these particular desires. Why is that so? That is because you were flaunting your gaze at this one and that one and the other on your phone or wherever it may be. So that passion is still there. And I spoke about this in the morning. Brother Suleiman, I'm not too sure if you're aware of this here, but the disturbing aspect of masturbation amongst our youth is still key and something that is an ignored topic to a great deal. And since you are finding now scholars, muftis, who are saying that it's perfectly fine, now people, youth, are going wholesale with this, even married women, married men. So they're not getting that satisfaction. You must using the parts, you're abusing the parts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has borrowed you, loaned to you for all of this filth and disgusting aspects. So you will face the consequences. Masturbation, let's be clear, it breaks the fast. It breaks the fast. And you'll have to keep a qadha. You know, if you eat while fasting, you broke for no reason, you just ate and wasn't a mistake. If it's a mistake, that is forgiven. And that is actually, it's a bounty for you. And here we learn one masala as well. Say an elderly person is fasting. Elderly person is fasting, and you know that they are, if they're not going to eat or they are totally weak, or you find a minor, he's fasting or she's fasting, your daughter, not baligh, whatever, and you know they are weak. By mistake, you find them eating. Now, don't warn them and tell them that, you know what, hey, you're fasting. Let them eat. Let them eat. We must say this clearly, those who are elderly and you know they are weak, or those who are minors. So they don't know they're making a mistake. So leave them. Don't remind them. Yes, me, you, all of us, the rest, we must be reminded. And you must remind others as well. So that will be some strength for them. And they will be asked or questioned. But say you ate intentionally. So you broke your fast. So what is this now? One qadha and 60 kafara. 60 fast consecutively. We had one student. He changed his life from one of these countries. I'm not going to say where because people will know then. But I asked him, every day you're fasting. He said, no, this is kafara. And he did it. He did it. So Allah gives you that opportunities to cover up for that which you've made, your blunders, great blunders which you made. But for masturbation, there's no kafara. If you do not make istighfar and you do not ask Allah for forgiveness, and you don't keep that qadha is one thing, but together with that, a tawbah that you will, and such a tawbah, you'll never ever return back to it. This is something major. Together with it comes so many other crimes. There won't be barakah in that home. There'll be fighting in that home. And together with that, there will be pornography. Together with that, worldly harms. We know, Brother Suleiman, you call Mike Paul Hayes every now and again. And what's his major concern, he tells us, a non-Muslim. He's saying cyber crimes. And also those people, elderly, young, whoever, going onto the porn websites. Remember, if you go onto the wrong one, which is very likely so in today's times, he warned. Then what they do is they capture your details. And what they do is they threaten you. If you don't put so much money in our account, we are then going to make sure and ensure that we expose you to the public. So who wants to be exposed like that? People then start paying. And they make sure they pay. See how they corner you. So one sin leads to the next. And in sin, what is it? It's humiliation. On the day of Qiyamah, you'll be running to Shaitan. And you say, Shaitan, we followed you. You'll be running to all these imams who said, masturbation is fine. We followed you. They say, hey, we can't save ourselves today. How are we going to save you? You go to Shaitan. Shaitan said, I just whispered. You followed. So humiliation upon humiliation. Allah protect us and give us the ability. So this year is key to abstain from sins. This is key. When you abstain, I could be earning 2 billion, but if my expenses is 2.1 billion, am I really making money? Can you say I'm rich? No. Likewise, similarly, your actions, make sure you bring your sins to an absolute major sins, a no-go zone, minor, we all fall into the trap. But that's where you have all these good actions, which then wipe off that even. So Allah guide us, Allah protect us, and give us the ability to stay away from major, minor sins. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
We say Jazakallah khairan to Mawlana Zaid for giving us that insightful advices, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and give me first the tawfiq and the hidayah to practice and upon the amal, inshallah. Next up is news at 11 a.m. Then it's going to be the bliss of marriage from 11 to 12. 12 to 12.55 will be the news hour with Brother Alpha Sinkosi. Thereafter, 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. Then 5 past 1 to 1.30 will be the tafsir of Surah A'raf. 1.30 to 2 will be the repeat of the tafsir of Surah Baqarah. 2 to 2.30 would be the rapid Q&A with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahab and Yusuf Ali. 2.30 to 3 will be the 2.30 to 3 will be the lunch break with Yusuf Ali. And then 3 to 3.45 will be the Q&A and the Nasiha of this morning. 4 to 5 will be the Urdu lecture by Qari Hanif Multani. And then 4.30 to 5.45 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. Then 5.45 to about 25 past 6 will be the Iftar program live from Durban with Hafiz Wadi. So inshallah, that's the programs that we're going to follow from the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Mid-Morning Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isub, every month, Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.